covering the crew all season long on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Inning. Now, live from American Family Field, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
Man, what a homestand. What a way to start the second half. You did exactly what you were supposed to do. 7-2 in these first 9 games of the second half. You're starting to put the hay in the barn, like we talked about. Now you go for a West Coast trip with the Giants and the Angels. Do not coast uphill, in the words of Pat Murphy. Miz was brilliant. The Brewers poured it on late. They forced a position player to pitch for the Rockies. The better team won the series. They take the finale today by an 11-2 score with Craig Kishon. I'm Dominic Catronio. And quite frankly, Craig, an 11-2 score, and it wasn't even that close. The Brewers kind of sleptwalked their way through the first 5 innings of this game. They scored 3 in the first, nothing in the middle, and then exploded for 5 more in the 6th, and then a few more in the 7th. You know, 9 doubles, 11 extra base hits. Maybe one of those doubles comes off the board later after a poor play in center. But nonetheless, the way I look at it today felt like an exorcism of demons. Today was a day where they were up there taking A swings, they were hitting the ball hard, they got rewarded on a few of them, they got some good breaks on a few of them. And this is an example of, hey, they all level out, it all works out in the end, and the Brewers to get 11 extra base hits to set a new season high shows that there is a little bit of slug in those bats after all.
Yeah, indeed, and it was really good to see. This was kind of a, to me, such an odd game as far as the storylines, all the things that you're mentioning here today, and then, of course, what the Miz did. They all had their different pockets in the game and in the afternoon. You know, the Miz was, everybody was mesmerized right through that fifth inning, and then all of a sudden that opposite field home run for the first hit of the game. But I mean, right up and through 4 2/3 innings, you're going, this could be the no hit day. I mean, just the way he's going. And then that ended quickly. I mean, that fifth inning ended and then he was done for the day. And then, you know, then you're thinking, are the Rockies going to stay in this game or is the Brewer offense going to start clicking? And they finally did. The offense kicked in. So it turned out to be a really good day. Much needed to see Miz do what he did today, especially, you know, kind of going through what he has the last couple of weeks, 19 days. And the offense just needed a big offensive game, a lot of hits, a lot of runs, a lot of extra base hits, all the good stuff. What a homestand this was, man. Unbelievable. 7-2.
This is exactly what we talked about. When you see it on the schedule, as brutal as that Pittsburgh series was, you had some get-right opportunities coming out of the break. And quite honestly, the hardest series on paper coming into this homestand was the first one in which you swept the Marlins going 3-0. Now they're on an L-12 out of nowhere. I mean, they were in a playoff position starting the second half. Now they've fallen out of it. The Mets and the Rockies. And the Rockies played like the Rockies today, unfortunately, as there's a reason why there are so many games under 500 as they are. But, you know, we'll talk about Miz isolated in a moment. But the way I look at this, Craig, is the Brewers are a club with a week to go before the deadline, that have put themselves in a position to do whatever they want. A reminder, the market does not have a can't-miss bat available, right? If you're splitting hairs and you want to try to get a bat, nothing's really available there. I know Tarek Skubal hogs up all the headlines, and them losing 2 out of 3 to the Royals certainly sways that meter maybe toward let them go meter. But there are other candidates on the pitching side that you have to be looking at and have to be seriously considering to follow up, because when we watch Miz today, it's a reminder that, yeah, he can beat the Dodgers, but who else can beat the Dodgers? And that's what the Brewers, in my opinion, are going to be looking for coming up in this final week before the deadline.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, let me just say this, you know, the Lance McCullers experiment obviously didn't work and didn't last long. But let's just say that experiment would have worked in favor of the Brewers. It would have given the Brewers, you know, 2+ months of a guy potentially that could work his way into the rotation and help out at times during the regular season. They may go after a guy or two like that to help solidify things in order to keep, you know, Miz's innings at a workable level so they can, you know, ramp him up and let him do what he wants in the postseason. But they are missing that next level guy here, at least at this point. So I say this, if they're serious about going out and winning a championship and they're on the cusp of being able to do that, I really feel at this point where they are and the depth that they have, in the minor leagues to potentially give up somebody that could be a difference maker, this would be the time to do that. These current guys, for the most part, that went through the playoff run a year ago, have that experience at least. It's not the first newbie thing going all the way to the NLCS like it was last year. And I know they have a few rookies on the team here this year, but these are very, very capable players and very mature. So to me, I think you're oh so close to solidifying that pitching staff. I say try to find a way to do it.
I think the Brewers, whether they're shopping in the bullpen aisle, the starting pitcher aisle, or both aisles, it's not a knock on who they currently have. It's a matter of, will this team get by presumably the Dodgers? And that's what this final week will be all about, because a day like today reminds you, they're slugging there. And I know they faced a pitcher with an ERA that begins with a 7, but they still did what they were supposed to do against the pitchers that had those numbers. They still are a team that puts bat on ball. They still have great base runners. They still have great defense. That's the stuff that doesn't take a day off while Miz is striking out 12 of the 13 batters he faces. So when you marry it all together, the Brewers are undoubtedly in my mind, a top two team in baseball. Now, will it be a top one team in the National League by the end of October? We shall see. And that's what this final week before the trade deadline will let us know about. We got to talk about Miz because, once again, he is the headline. Let's sit down and give you all the records, everything he broke. 855-616-1620 is the phone number. 855-616-1620. Right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Miz just keeps on rolling. We'll hear from Miz later on in the program. 5 strong, only allowed 1 run. Tip your cap to Cole Carrick. Took him deep on a 102-mile-an-hour fastball. The only run he allowed, he struck out 12 in those 5 innings. They made him work with 84 pitches and 60 strikes. He could have gone back out for the 6th inning, but the Brewers have been patient and trying to make sure he makes it through the year. But man, when I sit down and look at this with Craig Kishon, I'm Dominic Catronio. You know, 100 miles an hour or more, Miz has the record. Today, he threw all 66 of his 4-seam fastballs were at least 100 miles an hour. And 63 of them were 101. 54 of them were 102. 33 of them were 103. All of those are brand new records, breaking his own high water mark in the pitch tracking era that goes back to 2008. And he set a live ball era record back to 1920, when we have reliable strikeout statistics, of 12 strikeouts in the first 13 batters faced in a game. That is a new live ball era record. He is rewriting the history books every single time. He has no hitter stuff every single time. The homer was the only hit he allowed in this game. He had no walks and just one hit batter. I am out of words to describe Jacob Mizorowski and his ability, Craig. I just sit here and I'm marveling at what he had. 2 3 ball counts today, and he had no walks, and it's just 80% fastball. Here it is. Hit it, and they can't.
It was so fun to watch. I mean, it just really was. I get through 4 innings. You get through the first 2 batters in the 5th, and you've got that perfect scorecard. And then that opposite field home run obviously changed some things there. But you know what I'm thinking too, Dom? If he gets through that 5th inning like he was cruising along prior to that, with his low pitch count, I know it went up in the 5th after that home run and stuff, but if he maintains a low pitch count and he's doing what he's doing and he gets through 5 innings, you just got to wonder at that point, a lot of pitchers who are going to be on the threatening to pitch a no-hitter start getting in a groove even more after that. And you have to wonder if they would let Miz at this point continue on. We've seen a lot of pitchers on teams, young pitchers, that they just kind of pulled the plug on. But I got to wonder, how can you pull the plug on a guy like Miz if I'm telling you, one day he's going to throw no hitter, and I hope we're all here to see it. And I hope he does it here in Milwaukee. He has that stuff. But I just wonder if he keeps threatening like this the rest of this season, you know, do they let him go out and do it? You know, I mean, he's got the stuff to do this many times.
I mean, I'm looking at his next start against the Angels, another team that strikes out a lot that could be a really bad matchup for them. And quite frankly, that team might look really different by the time the Brewers arrive, given they've got some trade pieces like Zach Neto and maybe Jorge Soler and some other thoughts. But I think I'm glad the Brewers didn't have to face that conundrum today. Granted, yeah, he only allowed one hit, and it would have been, you know, if he had struck out Carrig there, because he got ahead of him 0-2 before allowing the home run on a 2-2 pitch. I mean, he had an opportunity to end that inning on just 15 pitches. He would have been at 68 pitches to that point, and yeah, he would have definitely gone back out for the sixth inning, but you're right. Then we're in this situation where if he's perfect through six, but he's at 80 pitches when we know he's going to be on a governor and he know he's going to be on a shortened start. And then you have to deal with all the headaches of, well, the Brewers already plan on this being a shortened start for him. That's why he's getting pulled after. I'm glad we don't have to deal with that today because, quite frankly, I think that's what was going to happen. There is no way, even if he was perfect through six or seven, they were not going to give him the chance to finish that today to be responsible, to go after 65 pitches on Monday, extra day of rest to go up to 84 pitches. That's a perfect little ramp, and he said so post-game. I feel 100%. I feel great. He even talked about it. I asked him about it, saying, hey, do you feel a difference in your body after all the work you did in the offseason, the workload you've had to this point? It feels completely different to how I felt at this time last year, where he was just excited to be in the big leagues and still finding his routine, still finding out what it meant to get your body ready on a daily basis. He has a strict, regimented routine that he has found that works for him. And I would have been sitting here really stuck between a rock and a hard place, Craig, of trying to explain, this is for the long run. If they had pulled him after a perfect game, we don't have to do that. But there will be a time that he's through seven perfect and he's at like 92 pitches. I just hope I'm not on the air that day because it's going to be really hard for me to hold back what I really want to say.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Well, look, I mean, his other complete game, his Maddux, I mean, that was 95 pitches, nine full innings for him. So 27 batters faced the minimum. He's going to do it. I mean, I'd be absolutely shocked if he didn't do it. And you know what? I was talking to Josh Maurer about this during the game. You know, we're asking each other the question, if he progresses like we're talking about here right now, do you pull him out or do you give him a chance? Because my point is he is so special and he is so gifted. He is not everybody else's pitcher to me that has been protected up until now. This guy can throw six or seven no hitters like Nolan Ryan did. If he's maybe is allowed to do this someday when his career, you know, starts to really mature and he just gains so much more experience, it'll be interesting to see. I think it's going to be a case where don't be surprised, folks. Don't be surprised.
I think what I am enjoying about Miz, and I think the number one thing that I explain to any national writer or somebody who wants to learn more about what's going on, how is this working, I will point out his offseason and the adjustments he made and the belief in the system to say he needed to get stronger, he needed to work on his endurance, he needed to perfect his mechanics. And I understand people are skeptical about arm health and about, oh, well, it's only going to last for so long until he gets Tommy John. Enjoy it then, man. Like, I don't understand those people. And I shouldn't even be giving them attention, quite frankly. But the point being, if you're a young pitcher or you're the parent of a young pitcher and you are watching Jacob Mizrowski saying, well, I can't throw 104 miles an hour, but what can I do? You can work on your body. You can work on your core. You can work on your lower body. And he said it over and over. You'll hear it here on the radio in a little bit. It's all in the legs. It all starts in my legs. I feel great right now. And I think what makes me so impressed and what makes me happy for somebody like Jacob Mizrowski, Craig, is the fact he put in the work and he's getting the reward. It doesn't always work like that in any factor of life. But he put in the work, He's getting a reward. The body is holding up for now, and the Brewers are being smart about it, knowing that there's a very good chance, while there's probably another 9 or 10 regular season starts, he's hopefully got 4 or 5 more coming up in October, and the Brewers have that certainly in mind coming up in 3 months' time.
Yeah, and to me, the big thing about all that is he so believes in this system. He so believes in, you know, what the team and franchise has set up for him, and he's such a perfect candidate to go along with it. I mean, what they're doing with him, they do similar things with everybody else, but when you're as gifted as he is and such a unicorn, you know, with his body structure, the player themselves have to believe. I'm sure there's a handful of guys that could have dominated the first half of a season, get through the All-Star break and come out and it just still feel tanked for some reason, like I think he did last week. But some of those guys just couldn't rebound from that and certainly couldn't do it by the time their next turn in the rotation came up the way he did. But, you know, you were downstairs talking to him right after the game. And to me, we aired that interview as well on the TV side. The air of confidence that this guy has about his ability and what he can still do, what he's done, not you know, hearing all the, you know, the chatter and the white noise and stuff about how good he is. He doesn't hear any of that stuff. He just shows up to the ballpark, does his job, and wants to be a great teammate. And that's just pretty cool stuff. I mean, the more you hear from him, the more you sense that.
He expects greatness from himself,
yeah.
And he has set that standard higher than what the Brewers have probably set for him, too. And it's what you combine when talent meets hard work, which also meets competitiveness. And he's got all three of those. He is the unicorn, like you're talking about. He is certainly a pick for who's hot right now. He's the leader in the Cy Young race in the National League, earning his 11th win today. It's brought to you by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. After a day at the lake, the golf course, or even the ballpark, come home to comfort with Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Keep your AC running at its best with a midsummer checkup. Visit Sider.com, S-E-I-D-E-R.com, to schedule service today and stay cool all summer long. We got to talk a little bit about what the Brewers' offense clicks and what the guys are that are the Brewers are going to be looking for here in these final 2 months to go. Yeah, 2 months left of the regular season after this on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
A few texts that have rolled in here as the Brewers win 11-2. With Craig Kishon, I'm Dominic Catronio, 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. Jeff from Elkhorn, the Miz looks like a varsity pitcher taking on the local Little League. Absolutely incredible. Pratt and Lara starting to look a lot more comfortable. I agree. They are looking great. Mitch from Kenosha, great team win. The more Pratt and Lara continue to improve, the more I begin to think they don't need any bats at the deadline. If anything, perhaps another high leverage reliever. I agree. Aaron in Illinois, great series win, great homestand. The two Rooks had a heck of a 2 days. Crew could close in on 70 wins before August. The next two teams may be unloading while we play them, being the Giants and the Angels. Player of the game, this 2026 Cy Young, the Miz. Yeah, he's certainly on that trajectory. More text, more thoughts coming up in a moment. But, I mean, the rookies are certainly the story once again, just like they were yesterday, Craig. And what makes me, you know, interested of what the Brewers are going to be doing here at the deadline. Now, they've already obviously handed both of these guys contracts. Blake Perkins got in for garbage time today, and he's certainly roster depth. Brandon Lockridge, his return is imminent. He is on a rehab assignment right now down in AAA. So they have a little bit of a plethora of outfielders right now, even with Sal Frelick on the injured list. You know, I'm looking around and I'm looking at this team. I'm not saying Sal Frelick's getting Wally pipped, because that's not what I'm suggesting. I think when Sal is healthy, he is still one of the better hitters on this team. But if Lara's going to be playing a lot and Garrett's going to be playing a lot and Churio's playing every day, I mean, I'm having a hard time finding room for Bowers and for Vaughn. I mean, they all of a sudden here, Craig, they kind of have too many bats for what they want in their order on any given day.
Well, hopefully that's a good sign, because Lord knows how long that could possibly last. But you know what? This team is full of potential. I mean, what Jake Bowers has done, you know, all year long up until, you know, the last couple of weeks, and now he seems to be swinging it again. You know, who knows what's really going to happen. But I think the thing about it is, you know, like with Frelick going down, nobody expects Sal Frelick to be injured and to be on that injured list. And quite frankly, I don't think anybody knows for sure how long he's going to be out. But the depth they were able to provide with Lara and him being major league ready now and him being a perfect fit into this offense and especially into the outfield here right now. And then Cooper Pratt. I mean, I'm not sure anybody expected him to come firing out of the gates, you know, with his bat the way he has. And he's a hell of a shortstop, I'll tell you that. So the depth just keeps increasing here. And quite frankly, I'm not sure with the guys that aren't here right now because they are injured, how they supplant some of these guys, how they, you know, I know that they need some time, but they have some roster decisions to make here with the fact that they're hopefully at some point real soon here going to be far more healthier than they have been all season long.
And when you think about everyday caliber players that are on the injured list right now, it's really just Sal Frelick. And Brandon Lockridge is a useful fourth outfielder. He is coming back hopefully soon. He'll be a nice bench piece to use to your advantage. And then, you know, let's say when they're fully healthy and they make that decision, and I feel bad to talk about it while guys are certainly active on the team right now, but you would think of their four-man bench when everybody's healthy is your backup catcher, Gary Sanchez. It's your backup first baseman, Andrew Vaughn. It's your utility infielder in David Hamilton, and then a decision to make. Does Lara or Frelick stay? Because you're not going to keep an extra outfielder. Now, granted, you probably want to keep – you're definitely keeping Bowers because of his ability to play the outfield, and you can try to rearrange things, and you've got guys down in the minor leagues right now that you're keeping an eye on, like, for instance, what Andrew Fisher has been doing and what Luke Adams have been doing is – I mean, they would probably be in the big leagues on worse teams right now. So – I'm sitting here going, tip your cap to Matt Arnold and let him take the wheel in this next week. Let Matt cook, as the kids say, because he has built not only a winner, but a contender and a depth monster. Because I'm looking at this. I'm looking at next year right now, Craig. Every single one of these players, with the exception of Jake Bowers and Gary Sanchez, are under team control for next season. Every single person that got into today's game, except for Gary and Bowers. And you think of what's coming, and you think of the health of Quinn Priester coming back, and you think of some of the other guys coming back. I'm like, yeah, I get it now. They have done this again. They have built a winner that's not going anywhere anytime soon.
Yeah, they certainly aren't. I mean, that's a lot to get excited for. I mean, if you're listening at home or you're listening in your car right now, that's a major league statement there to know what the future of the Brew Crew is. And currently we're seeing develop in front of our eyes, especially with the two rookies that are doing what they're doing here right now. I'll throw this out your way. If Lara continues to play the way he is right now, how does he get sent back to AAA and Lockridge gets put on the big league roster when he's ready?
Right. I think that's where Perkins and his optionality comes in. True. But then when Frelick comes back, that's when Lockridge probably goes down because he's also optionable. But then it becomes the conversation of, hey, Sal, we know you've done it in the big leagues the last 2 years. Here's a kid that's been doing it great. And it reminds me a lot of Andrew Vaughn, Reese Hoskins last year. And Reese, obviously, a lot more experienced than Sal. And Sal, without question, and then Craig, I know you know this, Sal, without question, is the heartbeat of this team. He is like energy. He is the, you know, second. If you want to use a hockey analogy, you know, Yelich wears the C, but Sal wears an A. He's an assistant captain for sure. And I think that he would understand, like, I need to be a good teammate first. If Lara continues to do what he's doing and Sal says, I'll get in there, don't worry, I want to be known as a good teammate. He has told me that verbatim. Like, all I want to be known for is a guy that played hard and a guy that's a good teammate. Now, that's a problem for down the road. He hasn't even picked up a baseball this week. But Lara I'm excited. He looks like a dude. The body language, the confidence, the quotes that are coming out. He looks like a dude, and the Brewers, people were asking, like, why would you give this guy an extension? He hasn't even made a show. You're seeing why. Already, 2 weeks into his big league career, he's impressing so far.
Well, he's impressed me right out of the gates with his big league contract before he debuted in the bigs, the same way Jackson Chourio did, to be honest with you. I mean, I think they're kind of two peas in a pod that way, just because they had all the talent, the club saw it, and said, you know what, when you get called up here, you may never see the minors again. Hopefully you never will, because you belong up here. And to me, Cooper Pratt's in that same category, but Lara reminds me a lot of Chourio. They're just the same type of, you know, running at 110% energy all the time when they get a chance to put a bat in their hand or take that outfield spot. So yeah, they're obviously in great shape. And look, you never know what's going to happen, you know, with this roster injury wise, or if guys, if there's one or two guys that just become underperformers. I think it's a good call to put, you know, Rhys Hoskins in this conversation, because he was just progressively a non-producer for this team, and that just had to be addressed, you know, during the stretch drive and of course during playoff time.
And a lot can happen in one more week before the deadline. I remind you, remember, Chourio got hurt the day before the deadline last year, and then they went and got Brandon Lockridge. So there's still movement and stuff. But I'm looking at the deadline. I'm looking at the hitters that are available that we think are on the block. And I'm like, I don't see anybody that's a clear improvement over what the Brewers have. And I think that's a great juggernaut to have been built. I'm buying it. I know some people might sell it, but we'll talk about that as the week passes on. Craig, appreciate you as always, my friend. You got another W. You got another series win, a 7-2 homestand. It's a happy flight. Vibes are high right now here in Milwaukee.
Yeah, there they are. People are excited, man. This homestand just jolted this fan base even more. The alumni game, the legends come and did the same thing. So a lot of positive things going on for sure.
It was a really fun day. Appreciate you, Craig. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Sounds good, Dom.
All right. Buy or Sell is brought to you by Tony Wendorf & Associates. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, trust Tony Wendorf & Associates. One of the top real estate teams in Wisconsin, empowered by Keller Williams. They bring faith, family, and a red carpet experience to every home deal. So step up to the plate with a winning team behind you. WendorfTeam.kw.com. Let's hear from the Miz. He's coming up next. You're on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
A few more texts and chats going to the bottom of the hour here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. Great win today and an amazing 7-2 start to the second half. Brewers should at least upgrade Perkins, Stallings, and Wilson spots on the lineup. Well, I think they naturally will, you know, with Lockridge coming back and Sal coming back. That's the outfield spot. Stallings is depth. Wilson is depth. DL Hall is on his way back. They're hoping Jared Kane can get right by the start of the postseason, and maybe they make an acquisition for another bullpen arm here this week. So they're in pretty good shape in that front. And a reminder, one of your starters is going to go into the bullpen during the postseason, and quite frankly, I think that's going to be Shane Drouin as things look right now. And that's not a demotion for him. They just like his stuff out of the bullpen right now. So, yeah, I could use another A bullpen guy for sure. Alex from Oshkosh, mystery. Rookies delivered once again. Brewers close out the homestand with another win over the Rockies. From Nick, everyone with at least one hit in the starting lineup, including four more ribbies from Pratt and Lara combined, and a 7-2 homestand. Time for some late night baseball this week. Yep, we'll be up late with you watching the Giants and the Angels series coming up. It is 8:30 Central Time. First pitches for both Monday and Tuesday. I should say 8:45 first pitch Monday and Tuesday in San Francisco. 2:45 on Wednesday. And then 8:38 on Friday and Saturday. We will have post-game shows Monday, Tuesday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Just no post-game Wednesday, but Brewers Weekly on Thursday in your podcast feeds. Let's hear from the man of the hour. He's our International Autos Group Player of the Game. International Autos, just like the game's MVP, you can drive into summer in style and save up to $15,000 on select in-stock models. Visit IAMilwaukee.com. International Autos Group, where ordinary needs to be extraordinary. Just like the man who took them out today, 12. 12 more strikeouts for Jacob Mizorowski.
Miss, how did you feel today compared to Monday and just kind of how that reflected in what we saw from you on the mound today?
Yeah, I felt a lot better today. You know, I felt like I was in my legs better. So, you know, I felt like I was in a good spot.
How did that first inning show you?
You know, I just can trust the heater. And me and Gary really, you know, ran with that.
You had the velo, I think, coming out of the gates in that last start. Did you just sustain it? Sustain the legs and the physicality of it better today?
Yeah. No, sustaining the legs helps a lot, you know. I think that's most of my velo comes from is, you know, lower half. So, you know, it comes a lot easier when you have all the pieces.
How was the catch play, the throwing program this week? Did it feel like an improvement?
Yeah, the exact same.
What do you kind of go through mentally there after, you know, you get up the homer, hit by pitch, and just to get that final out of the inning?
Nothing really. I mean, just on to the next. Thought I threw a good pitch to both, and you know, heater was where I wanted it. You know, maybe a little bit more up, but you know, oh well. And then the curveball I hit him with, right where I wanted it, back foot. So, oh well.
Over 30 pitches, at least 103. Just how are you able to kind of keep that velocity going throughout the game?
Yeah, staying in my legs. I think that's the biggest thing to it. So, you know, felt a lot better.
How do you feel compared to this time last year with all the work you did in the offseason as far as workload and how the body feels?
Yeah, a lot better for the second half, you know. Coming in last year felt like I kind of was, you know, getting to the top of it. And now I feel ready to go, feeling a good spot.
When you retired the first 14 batters, do you start getting in the back of your mind thinking about what you might be able to accomplish for the 14
teams? No, I'm worried about the next guy. There isn't any worried about further down the line because random stuff happens. And no, you can't think about anything like that. You got to think about the next dude in the box.
What is that zone that you feel like you're in when you strike out 12 of the first 13?
I don't think there is a zone. I think that's just pitching. I think that's, felt like myself and, you know, kept going.
Did you realize you had 12, 13?
No, I had no idea. I'm just throwing to Gary. So.
7-2 on this homestand. What do you think about the team's ability to respond and play so well into the break?
Yeah, doing great. I mean, guys are in a good spot, you know. Clubhouse energy is high right now, so it's really fun to be in here.
Because you threw 80% fastballs today. Was that the game plan coming in? At what point did you realize you had that pitch?
No, I don't think that was a game plan going in. I think that's just what happened. You know, me and Gary kind of just ran with it. You know, you saw the swings that they were getting at the top of the zone and kind of just were like, all right, here it is, you know, until they hit it and, you know, dude hit it, so.
Do you feel like you're back at a point of, like, full go if they wanted you to be
full go? Yeah, I was full go. I felt like I was full go the week before, but, you know.
I believe him when he says I'm ready full go, and I'm laughing at the juxtaposition of Miz 80% fastball today. All 66 of them were at least 100 miles an hour. He averaged 102.8 miles an hour on his fastball. I will say that again. He averaged 102.8 miles an hour on his fastball today. And here's one more number on Miz. Of those 66 fastballs, there were 41 swings against that fastball. Okay, they were hunting it. They were saying, here it is, hit it. 41 out of the 66 total fastballs were swung at. Then of those 41 swings, they swung and missed at 23 of them. Swung and missed 56% of the time they pulled the trigger against a four-seam fastball. When it is at the top of the scouting report, fastball is elite. These are big league hitters. No matter what the record says, these are big league hitters. In Miz dominated, and his next start will be against the Angels. Oh boy, this could be some history coming up here this week. Miz dominates. Murph, he's happy about it. He's coming up next on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers win 11-2. It was 3-1 with the go-ahead run at the plate in the top of the sixth inning for the Rockies. And then one pitch later, it's a ground out to end the frame, and then the Brewers scored five more in the bottom of that sixth inning and never looked back. What a win for the crew. This text made me chuckle because it's a reminder that the trade deadline is not for the faint of heart, and you need experience to deal with the trade deadline. I'm not trying to pick on you from the 715, but I'm just going to read it. With the Yankees being decimated by injuries, Judge, Bellinger, Giancarlo Stanton, is it time to possibly trade Yelich and get out from under the contract so we can move forward and get Mason Miller. Okay, so that's a three-team deal. Two of them are playoff teams. One of them with a closer with 3 years of control that throws 104 miles an hour and 2 years of control for a guy making $27 million a year. Yeah, easy to trade. I'm not trying to bully you. That's not how this works. Two to tango. Yelly had the day off today. And Yelly, by the way, he started to show signs of life here in these last four games or so. And for him to be your DH, I'm fine with that. And if he continues to show, get back into Yelly form and perform better in the postseason, I think we're going to sit here and go, yeah, worth it. I do believe in Christian Yelich. I really do. I see a lot of signs. I see plate discipline. The sooner he lays off back foot sweepers, the better, and he'll be fine. Brewers win today. The manager is in a good mood. Pat Murphy's press conference is brought to you by Old Fashioned Roofing. Murph gives it to you straight. Win or lose, and around here, so does Old Fashioned Roofing. Veteran-owned, Wisconsin-built. Again, where a handshake still matters. Old Fashioned Roofing, the presenting sponsor of Murph's post-game press conference. Here's the skipper.
Yeah, I thought he was great. He really was. He could have continued, obviously, but we're unfortunately, he had to throw a few more pitches in that inning, or he would have went back out for the sixth. He wanted to. But, yeah, he was really good, you know, obviously. Punch out 8 out of the first 9 and 11 out of the first 12. That's 12 out of the first 13. Sorry. Yeah, that was good. So,
what impressed you the most about what he was able to do?
Punch out 12 out of 13. That's pretty impressive. There's nothing more impressive than that, I don't think. But I could say that, you know, he looked good. But punching out 12 out of 13 is a pretty good sign.
Does it still impress you that, you know, the story is out, he throws hard, he throws fastballs, and big league hitters still can't touch it?
They can touch it. I mean, they can touch it, and he locates it in the top half of the zone. It's really hard to hit. But his extension and his command of it and the fact that he's got secondary stuff to go with it makes it even tougher. So sometimes you plan on, well, you know what, I'm going to hit the secondary stuff because can't hit the heater, and then you get the heater, and now you're caught in between. But it's impressive. It's very impressive. But it wasn't the only thing that won us the game. He pitched 5 innings, and it was 3-1 when he left. And, you know, luckily we added on after that, but it was nip and tuck there for a while. I mean, these guys are hungry and capable, and that's why they're being competitive in a lot of games. But, yeah. Did we hit 8 doubles? Is that right?
9
doubles.
Franchise record.
Franchise record. The strikeout thing is 12 out of 13 has got to be a franchise record, doesn't it? All time?
Fly ball era.
All time record? 12 out of 13?
One's ever struggled with 9 in a row.
Well, it doesn't mean. So if you struck out 8 in a row, and then you gave up fly out, then you struck out 7 in a row. All right. That's pretty good. 5 innings. That was good. The young kids again, Lara, some 3 really good at bats. Pratt, you know, Ortiz lifted us. Bowers looks like he's his old self, which is really encouraging. You know, Vaughn seems like he comes up with a big hit or two every time. Bryce's bunt, you know, I think it changed the complexion of the first inning.
It sure did. I mean, it came out hot, came out fast, and all of a sudden the Brewers are up 3-0, and you blink. And they never trailed in this contest. We'll relive it with some highlights coming up next here on 620 WTMJ.
Ready for this? This
brought it back.
And this,
it is gone.
Time for tonight's highlights.
Brewers and Rockies, finale of a 3-game series and a rubber match, as the all-time leader in innings pitched in Rockies history, Kyle Freeland, taking the mound against the dude that is dominating the sport and leads the majors in strikeouts, and Jacob Mazurowski. And there was no doubt how this game was going to start.
1-2 pitch. Struck him out swinging.
104.3, and Mizorowski strikes out the side in the first. Well, I'd say we're off and running, but you already know that with Miz out there on the mound. Yep, three strikeouts to start. More in that in a moment. The Brewers got a leadoff double in the bottom of the first from Jackson Churio and played Murph ball to a T.
Marianne's going to win some stuff. There's a bunt base hit up the middle. Yes! Churio's going to come down the line and score from third as the ball got away from the first baseman. It's 1-0 Brewers.
How about it? A shovel pass from the pitcher just went away, and all of a sudden the Brewers added two more runs on a wild pitch and then an RBI ground out. 3-0 Crew, while Miz was rolling. In fact, he set a new franchise record today in the third inning by striking out each of the first seven batters he faced in this contest, breaking a teammate of his, Quinn Priester.
1-2 pitch, swing and a miss. He struck him out. Fastball at 103. And Mizorowski has struck out the first seven he's faced here this afternoon against Colorado.
Yep, so it was six in a row last September for Quinn against the Angels. Now it's seven in a row today for Miz against the Rockies. He wasn't done. In fact, he was dominant from there. He allowed a flyout to Troy Johnson. Oh, boo-hoo. And then he struck out everybody else, even going into the fifth
last
inning.
Last one he hit off his knee. 3-2. Struck him out swinging with a curveball. A dozen strikeouts for Jacob Mizorowski.
12 out of 13 to start the game struck out against Miz. That is a new live ball era record in the history of the game. That goes back to 1920. However, Cole Kerrig, tip your cap in an opposite field solo homer off Miz in a 30-pitch fifth inning. He was done after the fifth. He still had 12 strikeouts. He still only allowed one run, but the Brewers are still stuck on three for their total. Here comes Andrew Vaughn to the rescue.
One hit on Vaughn. 1-2. Fly ball left center. That's got good wood on it, and it's going to be gone. Home run for Vaughn. Second home run of the homestand is fourth of the season.
How about it for Vaughn? He continues to hit the ball hard, and it set the stage for a big inning for the Crew. This was after the Rockies had a little threat in the top of the sixth inning. After a one-out walk to Jake Bowers and another walk to Gary Sanchez, the rookie at the plate with a chance to drive in some runs.
1-2. Line down the right field line, a base hit. Bowers will score. Sanchez goes from first to third. Lahr to second with an RBI double. 5-1 Brewers.
They still weren't done. Up next, Cooper Pratt.
Wind up, Herget throws, and a fly ball to left. It's going to get down for a base hit. Sanchez scores. Lahr is right on his back. He will score. Throw goes to second. Pratt slides in. Two-run double, Cooper Pratt.
Cooper continues to shine. He has been a bright spot. And just to get the double digits, keep things going in the seventh inning.
3-2 pitch, a liner into left. This is dropping quickly. It's going to get down in front of McCarthy. And then it gets past him. Sanchez trotting around third. He will score. And motoring into second is Luis Lahr with an RBI double. Brewers lead it 10-2.
How about it? They would add a sac fly later in the game. I mean, it was cruise control from the sixth inning on. They forced Brett Sullivan, position player pitching, to finish this game. And the Brewers dominate the Rockies, the finale, and they take the series. 11-2 the final today, 2 out of 3 in the series. The Brewers back to a new high water mark, 27 games above 500. They are 66-39, and they have a chance to be at 70 wins before the trade deadline a week from tomorrow. We'll wrap up the program after this on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Welcome back. I'm Dominic Catronio. Brewers got some friendly doubles today, I think, from the official score. Saw some chats about that. I also see some chats about my posture. Look, sometimes I forget the camera and the lean and everything. I'm looking stuff up here, man. It's a radio program first. Just happens to be on YouTube. Nonetheless, on the scoring decisions, you got to remember if it's an ordinary effort versus a not an ordinary effort. The moment you leave your feet, the moment you slide, the moment you dive, you can't give an error, right? Like, I look at the gift of a double that they gave Joey Ortiz on the diving attempt by Willie Castro. Like, it has to be a double because Cooper had to hold up to make sure that ball got through, and then it barely deflected out of Castro's mitt, and it was just perfectly in no man's land, and Joey was hustling to his credit, so he gets a double for that. A sliding attempt, yes, it got by him. He made a sliding attempt. It was all or nothing, right? Or then the one that I really disagree with is the one with the position player on the mound, Chirios, double the center. That's an E8. Big league center fielder needs to make that catch. Not a doubt in my mind. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see a hit taken away from the Brewers here in the next couple of days. Not that it really impacts Brett Sullivan's ERA as a position player pitching. So, reminder of what this week ahead is. Trade deadline is next Monday before the game. Now, there are no day games next Monday the 3rd, which is why the deadline is 3 o'clock Central Time. Make sure that lineups don't get impacted and that sort of thing. The paperwork has to be into the league office by that time. We'll have a full preview show in Thursday's Brewers Weekly. Tomorrow, Giants, 8:45, first pitch. Stay up late with us. I've got you covered for post-game tomorrow. It'll be Bob Brainerd on Tuesday, and then no post game on Wednesday. That is a 2:45 first pitch. Brandon Sproat gets the ball tomorrow against Tyler Mahle, finally back and healthy for the Giants. Tuesday, it'll be Logan Henderson against Landon Roop, and then Wednesday, that will feature Logan Webb for the Giants, their ace, against Shane Drouin for the Crew. Off day Thursday, then one could presume Robert Gasser on Friday in Anaheim, Miz probably on Saturday, and then back to Sproat on Sunday. So that's what the upcoming week looks like for the Crew. Some late night with us. Remember, you can catch all the shows, Brewers All Access, wherever you get your podcasts. And we'll have it right there waiting for you when you wake up in the morning, all of it ready for you, commercial free. That's going to do it for our show today. Big thanks to our producer, Evan Witalison. I'm Dominic Catronio. Brewers win. Good night, and keep on swinging.